Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Space or situations.
And now it's the Mike Calta Show.
.901 on the Mike Calta Show. It's 1025 The Bone. 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025. This weekend, there's a lot of things for you to do, including going to my mother's house with me on Sunday.
Wait. Oh, nice.
No, just kidding. There's a comedy, and that comedy is happening at the Sidesplitters Wesley Chapel. And Devin Siebold is going to be here. Devin is here with us. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Now, have you done the Sidesplitters
Wesley
Chapel location?
Yeah, I have. It's really different because, you know, at Sidesplitters in Wesley Chapel, it's in a movie theater.
Right.
So you get the popcorn and the drinks, you know. And if you go to the real Sidesplitters, you get, you know, the popcorn and the drinks. Yeah.
This is the absolute truth. But they have a dedicated bar set up for the Sidesplitters Theater, and they built the stage in there, so it's not just like a movie theater. It's actually really smart.
Legit.
What they did, yeah. And it's smart because people know that not, you know, especially after the pandemic, that these movie houses that had 15, 20 screens are almost useless at this point. So instead of just folding it, they turned it into a bunch of other great things, including a Sidesplitters, which is great for the people in Wesley Chapel and further north who don't want to travel and see, and they're bringing great shows in there.
Yeah, and I always feel bad for the people that are skipping out of theaters, though, and are like, let's go into the next one, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, what multiverse is this? You know, like,
there's a lot of old people in there. Yeah.
But the weird thing is I went in the wrong one, too. I did an hour of sex jokes in front of Sonic the Hedgehog 2. I was like, this isn't my crowd. Wait a minute.
Now, we've known you for years. Did you win the contest with Ralphie?
Yeah, I was the Calta Last Comic Standing. I went with Ralphie and Bert.
Oh, it was Ralphie and Bert.
Yeah. And then Ralphie and I did a bunch of shows after that. He loved me, and we got to go, you know, do shows throughout Florida and stuff. He was awesome, man.
So this weekend, Bobby Kelly shot his special here, and Jared Moore opened for him, and Jared won to go on the Last Cruise. And when Bobby said he was going to have Jared open for him, I was like, eh, he goes, well, you don't like him? I go, no, I do like him. I think he's really funny. I go, but I don't know. I just figured it would be something a little bit more your style. And he was like, no, I want somebody opposite of me.
Right.
Which I think makes a lot of sense for you and Ralphie, too.
Mm-hmm.
Both very funny, both different styles of comedy. So I guess I learned a little bit about that. But, Ralphie loved to find good local comedians. And he really was a generous person as far as giving them an opportunity.
Yeah.
And promoting them. And but he had to be funny. He didn't bring the stinky guys with him.
No. And he was so nice because the first time I opened for him, he found out I didn't have a hotel, and he bought it out of his own pocket.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that, and it was a nice hotel, too.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, man, that was so nice of him.
Yeah, he would do that to me, and after a while, I'd be like, Ralphie, I have money. I'm good. And he's like, nah, I got you.
I
got you. Yeah, I know. That's the thing. So this is something we were talking about this morning. Let's start there. You were a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
How long were you teaching?
13 years.
And did you, I always say this all the time, teachers are the most unappreciated, underpaid people in the world.
Yeah.
We don't like our own kids. Now we're going to give you 30 of the ones we don't like, and it's your job to make them smart. Good luck. I don't know why. I mean, I love kids, and it was a time in my life where I thought about wanting to be a teacher, and then I thought, no way, I'd strangle these kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what grades were you teaching?
Middle school and high school. I taught middle for 3 years and then high school for the remainder 11 years.
Now, high school is where it gets tricky, because I feel like if I taught high school and there was that really hot high school chick who is, you know, the slutty one that comes on to you, I would probably go to jail.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'd be able to handle that. That's got to be. Yeah, Carmen, I'm just being honest with you. Yeah, I'm not saying I would go after the girl, but if you get that one that just traps you in the book closet and she's like, I really want to get away. There are
18-year-olds in high school, right?
Yeah, they turn 18.
It's Florida. There's 21-year-olds in high school. But, yeah, it was, it's, you know, I mean, I don't really, I feel weird commenting on that. I'm not that kind of person. And,
yeah, I
and
am.
Like, I see the weird thing is I started teaching when I was 21, and they had me teaching a remedial high school reading course, which was people who had failed the FCAT several times.
Right.
So I was teaching people that were 19 and 20.
And you were 21.
And I was 21.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of a weird thing where I had to program myself, like, these are your children. Mm-hmm. You know, even though they weren't, I was like, these are your kids, and you need to honor them and respect them. So I took, like, a hardline stance on that right away.
Yeah, you have.
And I had, you know, students that would hit on me, and I documented it.
Oh, really?
I'd send screenshots, because they'd find me on Twitter or whatever
what
and send a message.
Billy loved you.
Yeah, I had to send it. I would just send it straight to the office and be like, hey, just so you know, this one said this. You know, just because I didn't want anything coming back
on
me.
You got to have that, I was a counselor for a summer program in high school when I was 19.
Mm.
And some of these kids were like older than me, my age. And I remember one kid was like, I got tickets to go see Guns N' Roses and Metallica. Do you want to go? I was like, yeah, I do, but I can't do that. I can't. it's just weird.
So you confiscated them from yourself?
You can't have these.
Right.
Okay, so you were teaching where, in the Orlando area?
Polk County.
Polk County.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, man, I totally would have hooked up with those girls.
Wait.
No, you're over there in Polk County, and now I remember having a conversation with you where things were really starting to take off for you with comedy, and you were leaving to go into these places, and I go, that's so great that the school is cool with you, mm-hmm. that they let you go and do this, and you were like, no, they hate me. They
absolutely hated me. Which also, by the way, my connection to Ralphie helped me, by the way. My assistant principal was a big, huge Ralphie fan, and Ralphie was coming to Orlando. He's like, are you by chance going to be there? And I was like, yeah, I will. He's like, can you get tickets? I was like, yeah, I can.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you want to meet him? And he's like, yeah, oh my gosh, that'd be great. And so he met Ralphie, and like, I got highly effective after that. straight, like, top tier everything. And I was like, I need a little more time off. They're like, to open for Ralphie? I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
He passed away 2 months ago, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I just got to keep going.
Now, you, when you go to them, what's it like when a teacher takes a day off? Like, you got to go and say, hey, these are my dates.
So it used to be a lot easier. You would just go online and just click that you're going to be off.
Oh, really?
Up to an hour before the actual day started. That was crazy. Yeah.
And where they just have another guy in the school?
They had a revolving door of subs. They were ready to go. And now it's completely changed. I mean, now you got to get approval. You got to make sure your class is split up. If they're, you know, because there's nobody there anymore. The substitutes have gone, but they weren't paying them anything. So
you were taking off how many days a year, you think?
Probably about 15.
Oh, that's not so bad.
No. Well, we were paid 10 of them, so 5 were unpaid.
All right.
And so then it had to be, like, really good gigs. Like, for example, the Calta Cruz was definitely unpaid. But I was like, you know what? I don't care. I'm posting my video from Cozumel. Have fun, you know?
Yeah.
And it was a, you know, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I couldn't pass that up.
No, for sure. When did you start having success?
So I started having success when I started doing the videos, which was probably about 6 years ago. And I had a few videos, teacher videos, that got like a million views. And then some.
Well, that's before TikTok, right? So what were you doing? Like an Instagram?
Yeah. Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. Okay. Facebook was really good to me. I had like 200 million views in my first few years of doing stuff on Facebook.
Wow.
And people don't realize, but Facebook paid well and still pays well.
Can you give
views.
Me an idea? Because we always wonder about that. Like, what is well, like, what are you making off of your videos?
So I've had months where I've made an upwards of 20,000, and then typically it's right around 7,000 to 8,000. The Reels bonuses is like really big right now, and you can make 35,000 on that.
Holy cow.
A month. So yeah, it's legit. You know, I was listening when I was coming in, and you guys were like, you know, is he matching his teacher salary? And
I'm like, in a month?
Yeah,
nice. Good for you.
Yeah. And now Carmen, are you hitting any of those bonuses yet?
So I just started the end of this one will be the 26th. So I don't know what I have, but I'm like not even close to the thousands yet.
Wait, what do you need? What do you mean? You need 1,000 videos?
No, because it's based on views, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm guessing, Devin, you know more than I do. I literally just started this. But it's based on views for all your videos. And so, like, I put up, like, 15 videos, but I don't even have, like, over 100,000 views.
Yeah, you got to rack them up.
Yeah, so you have... But, so basically, you just got to keep putting out more videos.
Now, what are you doing to get your videos in front of everybody?
Just posting. And I just, and this is the thing. This is the hard part of being a comedian. I was a comedian first, and then I went into the social media.
Right.
Social media, its game is content creation endlessly, as much as possible, as quick as you can. And I have to, like, think about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to put out something that I look back and go, oh, man, that was trash. Why did I do that? You know, I'm just playing into the system. I'm just doing, you know, they're sending me emails. You got to go with these trends. I'm like, why? Why am I copying somebody else? That's not what comedy is. You know, so I got to come up with my own original stuff, and it takes me longer. But I put it out, and I think it works better that way because it gets more views.
Sure.
People are like, man, none of my videos are getting any views. I said, because you put out six an hour.
Right.
It's not quality, you know? So then I put out one every, like, two or three days, and it'll get, like, you know, 1.5 million. And they're like, how'd you do that? I'm like, I thought about it.
Yeah.
You know? I
looked at it like a normal perspective.
Right.
So you're saying Carmen's doing too many videos.
No. You need the more the merrier. And that, like, if you're really trying to get those bonuses, you just got to keep kicking.
Well, I do like one a day, but sometimes I'll skip a day if I don't see anything that I like to do. But I'm doing the remakes of things that are that are popular.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I try to do original content, those are the ones that normally fall flat.
All right. Can I tell you where you win right now? No nudity. Take your shirt off and just eat cereal. Don't say anything. Just eat cereal with your shirt off.
Bonus met.
Keep your boobs down below the desks or the table so nobody sees them.
Right.
And just all you see is your shaky cleavage and you eating cereal.
Yeah. It's got to be name brand cereal. Let's not try to.
Okay.
Something good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I got gotcha. You. Tag them.
Yeah. Get on it. Would you say crying?
Yeah, maybe crying.
Yeah, a crying video. I would watch that.
You know.
Okay.
Devin Siebold is here. Devin is going to be at Sidesplitters in Wesley Chapel this weekend. When are we at? Friday and Saturday?
Yeah, Friday and Saturday. Two shows Saturday.
And you can still get your tickets the same spot, sidesplitterscomedy.com.
Yep.
And you are there with Kevin.
Kevin, yep. Kevin.
And I know Kevin because he's my barista. the first stop before superstardom in comedy.
Yeah, it is.
Barista.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know Kevin only from being a barista, so I don't even know that he's that funny.
No, he's a funny dude.
I'm sure he is. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. I don't even know him on that level yet.
Yeah, he's been... I'm his first in a lot of things. He was the first weekend he ever hosted was for me. The Rat. What's the guy's name? I forget the guy's
name.
Theo Von, yeah. And then, so first weekend he hosted, and then first ever actual full feature was in Visani's, opening for me.
For you.
And this is his first full feature weekend, opening for me.
Wow.
So
this is good. I'm happy for you guys. I love to see local guys, you know, here, the scene that we have here has been pretty good over the years.
Oh, Sidesplitters has been amazing to me. They started me. That was my first, like, paid hosting gigs. And
right.
I was hosting every weekend. Like, as I was, like, calling them up. I'm like, dude, you need anybody? So I had, you know, Nick DiPaolo early on and Joe List and Maz Jobrani. I was hosting every weekend just networking.
Yeah.
And all those guys then I opened for later or worked with later. You know, I wasn't going to let an opportunity go to waste.
So how does that work? So you're hosting at Sidesplitters, and Maz Jobrani is like, I got to go from here to Captain Brian's and down to West Palm Improv. And then he's like, why don't you just come with me?
Yeah, sometimes it's like that. You kind of got to push him a little bit,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work as well if you're just meeting him there. The one thing about Sidesplitters that I was always smart about is I said, hey, why don't I drive him? I'll pick him up.
Right.
And so I would pick up Nick DiPaolo. We'd sit next to each other and just talk the whole time. And then afterwards, Nick's like, so what do you want to do? You know, what's your plans? You know, and so it'd go from there to where I'd kind of network and work with them. And it was great.
Who was kind of a dick?
Rocky Laporte.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I messaged him on Twitter, and he was kind of new to all that tech.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, can I sell merch?
He's an older guy.
Yeah. I said, can I sell merch at your show? Just asking ahead of time so I don't bring it. I said, just trying to, you know, I was being nice.
Right.
And then he goes, yeah, sure. And we get to the club, and he goes, you know, I really didn't like what you did there. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, you messaged me, and everybody can see that. And of course I can't say no. I said, no, it was a direct message. I said, it wasn't public. And he's like, oh, really? Really? So nobody can see that? I said, no, nobody can see that. And he goes, all right. So we were sat up next to each other, and I'm selling merch, he's selling merch. I sold, like, slightly more merch than him.
Right.
The next show, they came to me, and they're like, hey, Rocky wants you to sit outside. It was July.
With your merch?
It was July, and I was outside in the sun just baking. And it, but wait, more sales.
Oh, yeah.
People were coming outside, and I was sweating, and they're like, oh, man, they put you out here? I'm like, yeah. The headliner was like, dude, just go out. And they're like, oh, man, we got you. We got you.
Really?
Yeah, so, yeah, but he was not nice to me at all that weekend.
I always hear a lot of headliners. That's the number one thing the headliners complain about is that the middle guy wants to sell merch.
Yeah.
And they feel bad saying no, but they don't want you to take that $20 away from them.
Right, right.
But you guys got to survive, too.
Oh, yeah. We have to. Yeah, especially you're early
getting,
on.
Yeah, but you're not getting... Yeah, no, I'm saying early on, you're not getting as much for the show. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's really weird.
Yep.
Ralphie was great like that, because Ralphie would just let the middle guy sell his merch.
Yeah.
And he didn't even know how much was sold, so you could just rip Ralphie off if you wanted to.
Dude,
like Gary Cannon, I'm sure, used to do.
I was working with Jay and Silent Bob one time, and Kevin goes, can you sell my shirts outside real quick? And this is before the show.
Right.
I said, yeah, I'll sell them. Had a giant box. I walked out there. It was sold out in like 6 minutes.
Wow.
And I said, dude, you made like 20 grand in 6 minutes. And I said, I want the power that you have. I said, because I had a man that was probably a 4X that walked up and goes, what do you have? And I said, I have a small left. And he goes, I'll take it. And I was like, why?
Yeah,
you're never going to fit in this shirt, bro. But he just wanted a shirt with his name on it. And I was like, that's a different level.
And does he cut you a good thing, Kevin Smith?
He handed me $500 cash right there. I was like, thanks, man.
Solid.
In like 2 minutes of work.
Don't you love a guy like him?
Oh, yeah. He was amazing.
He's great.
Yeah, he was stellar.
He's great, and he's another one that's generous. I think these people who remember what it was like to come up are the ones who are, you know, still the generous ones.
Oh, yeah. There's real nice guys out there that'll help you out and hook you up, and I've got great stories of those. Then there's the other ones that just don't want anything to do with you, the Ari Spears of the world.
Ari Spears. I love that you've named two names so far.
Yeah.
Ari Spears. Mm-hmm. Does not want anything to do with you. He's better than you.
He doesn't want anything to do with anybody.
Right.
I watched him, by the way, get his ass kicked right in front of me.
By who?
Twice.
By who?
The way. It was at the Orlando Improv.
Right.
And he was mocking this guy. But this guy, he was Green Mile, straight up, like, huge,
right,
in, like, a denim vest with cutoff sleeves, arms jacked. And Aries is ripping him, and the guy leaves and goes, I'll see you after the show. And I was like, oh, man. Oh, and Aries, we start walking out. He's got his DVDs in his hand. And all of a sudden, he just gets tackled right in front of me and just pummeled.
From Green Mile.
Yeah, the guy from Green Mile was just destroying this man. So anyways, I pick him up, and we get this guy off of him, and there's the mall cops there, you know? And they kind of subdue him. And Aries gets up. He goes, oh, my God. He goes, 25 years, I've never been attacked. He goes, I just got to sell these DVDs, man. I got to sell these DVDs. And so we go to the table. And we're selling the DVDs, and the door opens behind me. And I was like, that's weird, because that's not a door you would come in.
Right.
I turn around. All the mall cops are on the ground. He took them out.
Oh!
He tackles Ari Spears into the table. DVDs go flying straight, like Jeff Hardy split down the middle. I'm thinking I'm about to be on TMZ. This is my first TV credit. I'm trying to pull the guy off. It's not budging. This guy's massive. The real cops arrive and tase the dude and give him a handcuff.
What was he saying so bad about this guy that the guy had to beat him up?
Just making fun of him. He rips into the crowd a lot.
Yeah.
And he did not like that. And he was with this girl at the time. And that's kind of like the, you know, guys can take it. But when they're with the girl, it's a pride thing.
That was the fastest Ari Spears DVDs ever moved.
It was.
Bobby Jewell made fun of me when I was dating my wife. We went to the show. I got great seats, right, like in the second row. And then Bobby Jewell came out, and he gave me a shout out. I'm like, that's right, I'm cool. And then he just slammed me, and I was like, oof.
Really?
But I thought it was great. Like,
yeah.
I didn't even get mad at it. I was like,
oh, people love it.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, like, it's what you know, you want the unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so they tased Green Mile, and then Ari Spears, we've had him on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
We found out, as a grown adult man, could not throw a baseball.
Oh, really?
He is the worst. So we were doing a thing where, I think it might have been Jabba Chamberlain from the Yankees, was throwing balls at Spanish, or throwing fastballs at Spanish, trying to break plates that we taped to him. And then Ari Spears was on the show that day, and he tried to take a shot at it and could not throw a baseball. So you know he can't fight if he can't throw a baseball.
You had to switch over to the paper plates, you know, for a while.
Yeah,
that's funny. I didn't know that.
He was awful. But he also, he can't take a joke either, because wasn't it Ari Spears who went after Paul Castronovo one time?
Yep, and he's one of those that loves it on the stage when he's in control, but right. when he's not in control, it's not a fun thing to interact with him.
I love it. I think that's great. So, all right, put Ari Spears in the in the category of Rocky Laporte and mm-hmm. others. That's so funny.
Yeah,
Devin Siebold is here. Devin is going to be at Sidesplitters in Wesley Chapel this weekend, doing his comedy live on stage. Now, how long has it been since you've taught?
I finished teaching in 2021, January.
So you're done for...
Yeah, I'm done.
Hopefully good.
Yep.
And what is the plan? Like, what do you want? What would be the best thing for you?
So the crazy thing is that I was actually thankful for the kind of shutdown with COVID, because it opened my eyes. So yeah. I was doing straight up stand-up comedy, and I was like, okay, I'm going to leave and do stand-up. But no,
let me interrupt you real quick. When you were doing during COVID, were you teaching from home, from school?
Teaching from home.
Teaching from home to kids that were home.
Yeah.
How awful was that?
Right. It was.
Yeah.
So right before COVID, I went on tour in Australia with this other teacher comic. But I didn't make much money, you know, and I was coming back and I was like, you know what? I've got some heat. Maybe I need to just go for it and throw everything into the deep end and just try.
Yeah.
And I did. And then COVID hit. And I had no backup income, no revenue, all of my speaking gigs, everything. I had just signed a contract with Premier Speakers Bureau to be a speaker at schools. Mm-hmm. All of it went away.
And so miserable.
I was like, you know what, from going from hopes and dreams to nothing, I started putting my eggs in different baskets. So I wrote the kids' book, A Teacher in the Wild. Uh-huh. I started doing videos online that were monetized. How can I monetize this? I started really pushing promotions on my podcast and getting sponsors. Started doing speaking engagements, booking other things. I arranged the tour with board teachers that were doing, you know, across the nation.
So desperation's good.
Yeah, man.
It forces you to work.
Yeah, but I put eggs in different baskets.
Right.
So I went from literally nothing to last year making like over 200,000.
Good for you.
And really pushing it this year, seeking to double that through through the tour that we're doing and all the additional revenue from outside sources. And you know, now it's like, all right, if COVID happened, you know, if we shut down again, I got this. And if we don't do this, then I got that. And if this dries up, I got that. And
so
it was just kind of making it work. That was the main thing, was it widened my safety net. I was like, I really gotta not be a man on a wire out there. I gotta figure it out.
That's what Bobby Kelly and I started doing the Calton Kelly podcast during the pandemic, because those guys couldn't go out and work. They couldn't do anything. And we were able to get every great comedian on the show because they were doing nothing. They were just sitting. David Tell was sitting home in his apartment, you know. So that's great that you were able to turn that into something huge.
Yeah.
Now you're full forward, man.
Yeah. Now I'm headlining the board teacher store, we're doing like the AT&T Center. We're doing like all these big, massive, like opera house venues and 5,000 seaters, and everything's selling out. And then we're doing that all across the nation.
Now, I started to ask you before we went on the air about doing an amphitheater and Mulaney being at the amphitheater. How hard is that to do?
So I did an amphitheater one time. I would never ever never choose to do that ever again. I opened for Peter Cetera at the Pompano Beach Amphitheater, and
is that packed? Do people come see Peter Cetera?
It was packed. Yeah, I don't know if it was a Groupon, but it was packed. And so I opened for Peter Cetera, and the guy, it was a nightmare gig, because it was right about getting ready to rain.
Yeah,
and at an amphitheater, people are on edge. The guy, sound guy, goes, "Hey man, what do you want to bring out to?" And I said, "Anything, man." I said, "Just something upbeat." And he goes, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm just a comedian." He goes, "Oh, I got you." So the lights go out, lights are on. All of a sudden, I hear Looney Tunes. They're Looney Tunes theme song, and the spotlight starts doing the figure eight. And I'm like, oh no, this is not what I wanted.
Yeah.
So I go out on stage.
Did you have your rainbow suspenders on?
Yeah, I did. And I go out on stage, and there's like straight lights.
Mm-mm.
And I start speaking in the microphone. I don't hear myself. I don't hear anything. I don't get the luxury of the monitor on the stage. I can't hear anything. Ugh. Luckily, I could see a little bit to the left. There was like this little dark patch that there was like four or five people in, and I could see them laughing. And I was like, okay,
you,
they can hear me. I'm good. And For 30 minutes, it was me talking into a microphone with no feedback. Oh, amphitheater was just laughs going all over the place. Not to me at all.
Right.
The sound in there was just absolutely atrocious. It was 30 minutes of talking to myself.
Oh, that's got to be crazy.
Oh, it was crazy.
30 minutes?
Yeah, straight 30 minutes.
Holy
beginning
cow.
To end. And man, I had to end right. I couldn't go short, couldn't go long. And I was super pro about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was 30 minutes, and then, you know, Peter came out and knocked him dead with the Karate Kid theme song. And
yeah, that was his big hit, wasn't
it? Oh, yeah, it was the big one. He did a Chicago song, of course,
sure,
too.
But yeah.
That's his song.
So funny.
Yeah.
Wow, I can't. I want to go see Mulaney on Sunday, and I can. And Burr is playing out there as well. I just got to think that's got to be miserable for
I imagine
them.
Adding in the heat on
that's
top of
saying.
It would just...
I text my guy who works at the amphitheater, and I said, Bill Burr in the amphitheater in May on a whatever night it was. I'm like, awful. And he goes, almost sold out. And I went, you got to be kidding me. He goes, almost sold out.
Yeah.
I mean, Burr's going on his name, you know, on his comedy, obviously, to sell out. People want to see him no matter where he's playing. But, man, I love Mulaney, but that's a tough...
I don't know the lure of that place because I there's so many great acts that go to that amphitheater, and
yeah.
I've seen a bunch of acts there, but I'm always miserable when I go. Like, it seems very hot, and you know, you're like, man, there's no other like nearby theater, or
right.
They couldn't do Amelie, you know, like,
well,
and I think Burr could do Amelie. I think he could sell that out.
I think so now too. Yeah. So the deal is now, is that, you know, they put these concerts and comedians up for bid, and the Hard Rock's stealing them all. Hard Rock's like, we got all the money in the world, and we've got our own venue now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're like, even though we're half the size, we'll pay double the money, and that's where we're getting all these great acts.
I wanted to see Limp Bizkit so bad.
It was great.
Can I tell you, I saw them at 98 Rock Fest years ago, and I lost my mind. I was punching children. I love Limp Bizkit, and
really,
I'm unashamed.
Show, yeah.
Every song, man, I'm into it. And
I think you and Gio, yeah, you became best friends.
I love them, and I was so mad. My buddy sent me a video, and I was like, "Dude, that place is small."
Yeah. It's very intimate, and it's nice. Like, it's perfect to see a show. And I think Schumer's playing there soon.
Wow,
they're doing comedy there, and I didn't know what to expect with Limp Bizkit. I know the music, so I'm like, all right, it's got to be at least. They were so much fun. They were
into it.
Like, they were making fun of themselves. It was just it was a good time.
You know, it's better than their old venue. Do you remember that old little, like, the Hard Rock Cafe?
Oh, yeah. We played there a bunch of times.
You played there. Yeah. So I saw 7 Mary 3 there, and it was me and literally 7 and 3 other people. Like, it was just really, like, 12 of us, and we were watching 7 Mary 3. And I love some of their songs. And they were fantastic live, but it was not a really great venue. I'm glad they have the new one.
So we decided to go see 7 Mary 3 one time. This is probably about 12 years ago. They were playing at Bourbon Street in Newport Richey, which is an old rock club that they had there. And now it's taking us to go to Newport Richey to see a band, and we're like, we like the band. That's what we want to do.
Right.
And we went out there, and we waited for the band to come on, and they came on, and they refused to turn on the lights.
What?
They didn't want the lights on, so we really were watching shadows sing songs. And I went over to I got mad. I went over to the guy, and I go, put the goddamn lights on. He goes, they don't want me to turn the lights. I go, put the goddamn lights on. We can't. The guy put the lights on, and the guy in the band yelled at him. He goes, turn those goddamn lights off. And they're like, you don't need to see us. We're just here to play the music, enjoy the music. And we're like, this is the worst thing ever.
And
we left.
That's because they're old and had cataract surgery right before that.
It was blinding them.
Yeah.
That made me so mad. We got on the air, and we called their manager on the air on that Monday and just ripped them. We were so pissed off because we really wanted to see them. We liked the band.
Mm-hmm.
But who wants to go? If we're going to go see in the dark, I might as well just listen to the CD.
Right. It's kind of like Tool. You love seeing Tool. I love seeing Tool live. But Maynard in the back, in the shadow. You're like, it doesn't have to be Maynard.
Anybody,
it could be anybody.
Yeah.
You know, you want him up front, and you get that it's his style. Everybody's, that's the lure of Tool.
No,
I'm like, nah, I kind of want the lights on. I want to see it. You know, you go to Pearl Jam, and Eddie's out there, all right, turn all the lights on.
And tape everything.
Yeah,
and
let's
show
pass
your friends.
The wine bottle around and have a good time.
It's a big difference. 7 Mary 3. I'm going to punch those guys one day. If that lives with me, I'm going to get him one day.
Yeah.
All right, let's plug this gig. Go see Devin. He is going to be at Sidesplitters with Kevin Taylor and Devin Siebold, going to be at the Sidesplitters in Wesley Chapel. Now, I want to point out, if you're in Tampa, this isn't like an hour drive. This is right off of 75 up in You get off at State Road 54, I think it is up there, and it's right there. I mean, it's easy to get to. It's coming from either way, and it's worth it. Very funny comedian, longtime friend of the show, and I hope this is huge. I want to keep this thing going in Wesley Chapel. I want him to grow. I think BT is really smart in what he's doing to help grow the community, the comedy community here in Tampa. Is
stellar.
Good for the comedians, and it's good for the people of Tampa, you know?
Absolutely.
Give them some options. How many times do you have three different cities doing three different comedians at the same time?
And he's not throwing junk comics out there. That's the thing, is you would think, oh, he's got a second room, it's got the second rate comics, and you're looking at the lineup going, oh man, that guy's the headliner all over. He does this, he does that. It's fantastic.
It really is, and it's an opportunity where if you have something booked on a weekend, but there is another guy who happens to be coming through town, you could still get them both. You could still give options. And Lord knows, the town needs more Joselito. Joselito is a Mexican.
Joselito could do both shows at the same time.
It's true.
He's just a puppet.
Joselito is a Mexican puppet, and every time he comes like every 3 months, sells out all the
sells
shows.
It out instantly.
Good for him. Devin, great to see you. You want to plug any social media or anything?
Just devincomedy.com. I got all my socials. I do have a book called Teacher in the Wild. It's an elementary school level book, and it's about seeing your teacher out in public. How weird that is.
And, that's a pretty,
yeah.
That's a pretty good.
It's a funny book, man. Yeah. People love it. It's on Amazon and all that other good stuff. So
do schools embrace it?
They embrace the heck out of it.
I bet.
I thought maybe I'd sell 1,000 copies, and it's just gone insane.
Good for you, man. That's so awesome. All right, well, good. Good luck this weekend at Wesley Chapel. Get your tickets at sidesplitterscomedy.com. We'll take a quick break. It's the Mike Calta Show. This is 102.5 The Bone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.